So here we are. We're at the baptism of Jesus on the first Sunday in Lent. And we might sort of wonder, why are we talking about the baptism of Jesus on the first Sunday of Lent? If you aren't, I've been asking myself that for a week. But it's because this is about beginnings. You know, how do we begin these 40 days of Lent? How did you begin your 40 days of Lent? Because they began on Wednesday. How did you begin them? And how do we begin this process of repentance that we're called to through John the Baptist and then through Jesus? How do we begin? Or where do we begin might be the better question. And the scripture this morning, Mark, in his brevity of words, really helps us see where the beginning place is. It's not that we have to repent and then come to the baptismal waters. They're combined, the baptismal waters and our repentance, or our acknowledgement of our sin, is just the beginning. Jesus began there in the waters and made the movement forward to the cross. And the journey of faith, the journey of a Christian, the journey of a follower of Jesus is never a stationary event. It is always, we are always moving towards perfection in God, always moving forward. If we think we have moved to that place anywhere in our lives when we got it, hey, I got this Christian thing down pat. I know exactly who I am as a disciple. Somewhere in the midst of that, God is saying, whoa, wait a minute. That sounds a little bit too arrogant for my taste. Maybe we need to rethink where we're at. And maybe we have to go back once again to the beginning, to where it starts in our baptismal waters. Because if we went to the beginning of the Mark passage, we find that John was simply offering a baptism of repentance. And then he says, but the one coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the baptismal font that we know changes with Jesus. Changes the moment the skies open and the Spirit descends and says, this is my beloved with whom I am well pleased. But then something strange happens. Did you catch it? It says, and the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Doesn't say Jesus decided to go into the wilderness. It doesn't say Jesus had this plan and he thought the next step should be the wilderness. It says the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. So why? Why did the Spirit drive Jesus, who was without sin, into the wilderness? Now, we being scripture scholars that we are thinking about Matthew and Luke, and we think about all the temptations that Jesus experienced there. Mark doesn't give those to us. So take them out of your brain, just for a minute, take a deep breath, and listen. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. That's all Mark tells us about Jesus's wilderness experience. We don't know through Mark what he experienced there. We don't know if the wild beasts were there to assist his journey there. We don't know if the wild beasts were a threat to him there. All we know is he was with the wild beasts and the angels waited on him. Now, I have an Eagle Scout. And one of his merit badges was his wilderness merit badge. And when Wes had to go get his wilderness merit badge, he had to know all the things that you need to know about the wilderness, like eating mosquitoes for protein. I still don't understand that one, but that was one of them that they talked about, that the bugs provide protein. But he had to know, he got to have compass and map. He got to have a compass and a map. And that was about it. So he had to spend that time, 48 hours, 24 hours in the wilderness, figuring out his way back home, living on the things of nature, creating his own place to sleep, doing all the things that someone who wants a wilderness merit badge needs to do to survive the wilderness. Now, this he did in the wilds of Spokane, Washington, somewhere up in the mountains, and I even think it was a winter experience for him. Not quite snow, but it was cold enough. He had to rely on his own sense of what it means to be in the wilderness and what it means to have the wilderness support you. And when we think about Jesus out there for 40 days, not 24 hours, 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted with only that which his wilderness could provide to support him, we might wonder what exactly happened in those days. And why is it important for Mark to tell us that it happened right after the baptism of repentance and the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because I believe what happened is it's allowing us to see what happens in our lives. That when we move to that place of surrender to God and to surrender to Jesus, we still end up in the wilderness. We still end up in those places where our own humanness can sometimes be the things that bind us in the wilderness. That our own humanness gets involved in the midst of the wilderness experience so that we lose the sense that God is there with us. We often think, oh, we've repented from our sins, we're a follower of Jesus, life is going to be good. Life isn't always good. We are going to end up in the midst of a wilderness experience, whether we want to or not. And do we have the tools to get us through and get our merit badge? Why do we do these days of Lent and these spiritual practices, these spiritual disciplines of prayer and study and worship and holy conferencing and holy communion? We do these things so that we are equipped for the times that we hit those places of wilderness in our lives. But we also have to know that the wilderness isn't just out there. The wilderness is in here too. The reason why we spend 40 days thinking about Jesus and the cross and what he bore for us so that we might have life and have it eternally, we have to think about the wilderness that's inside, the things within us that want to actually take the light that is in us and push it out so that we can live in darkness, so that we can live in that really wild place where the wild things are. So what are some of the things within us that maybe this time of 40 days, this time of reflecting on this gift of love that God gives us in the sacrifice of Christ, maybe those are the things we need to focus on as we began here in the waters of our baptism and we're washed clean and we're here in this wilderness of our hearts and minds and we think, what is it? What is it that is preventing me from knowing a deeper, deeper relationship with God? Is it my own belief that I know it all? Is it my own belief that I'm not smart enough to know any of it? Is it my own belief that I don't have time? Is it my own belief that I'm worried about what people will say if I proclaim the name of Christ? Is it my own belief that that person does it better than me, so I don't need to do it? Are we jealous? Are we angry? The youth have been dealing with 21 questions, some challenging questions about people you might be afraid of, people you might be envious of. Are you praying enough? Are you doing the things in your life that bring you closer to God? That wilderness within us is when we always think we're not worthy. I'm not worthy enough. I don't look right. I don't dress right. I don't have the right friends. I don't have the right emotional status. I don't have the right Snapchat number of friends on my Vine or whatever it is. I don't have. Streak, that's what they have. They have streaks. that somehow those external things make us be better than we are, when the reality is those external things are part of the wilderness that binds us in the dark. And what we're called to do in this time of 40 days is to remember that Christ went into the wilderness too. We don't know his wilderness experience, just like no one knows ours. No one knows what's really going on in our hearts and our minds and our spirits but God. Our wilderness experience is very unique to who we are as a brother and sister in Christ, or a child, beloved child of God. It is ours. But Christ is in the wilderness, isn't he? Christ is there with us. The light of God was there in the midst of the wilderness. And when Christ came back out of that wilderness, the first things he said was, "Repent, because the kingdom of God is here." The actual verbs in Greek were, "The kingdom of God is here. It was here before, it's here now, and it's coming. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news." The good news is you don't have to live in wilderness. You don't have to live in the darkness. You don't have to live believing that you are not worthy of the love of Christ, that you were not worthy of the cross because God said you were. And Christ died for each and every one of us because we are beloved children of God. And the light that shines within us is the light of Christ. So where do we begin? Where do we begin this journey? We begin remembering our baptism, remembering that we were called children of God, remembering we said yes to the yes that God said to us. So, brothers and sisters, we are on a journey, and that journey has no end. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.